Thank you for joining us for another lesson from God's Word. The West Huntsville Church of Christ at Providence is located at 1519 Old Monrovia Road, Northwest, Huntsville, Alabama, 35806. Anytime you're in the Huntsville area, we hope you'll stop in and be part of our worship. Sunday morning worship is at 9 o'clock, with Bible class immediately following. Sunday evening worship is at 5. Midweek Bible study is held Wednesdays at 7.
Scripture reading comes from Habakkuk chapter 2, verses 19 and 20. Habakkuk chapter 2, verses 19 and 20. Woe to him who says to wood, awake, to silent stone, arise, it shall teach. Behold, it is overlaid with gold and silver, yet in it there is no breath at all. But the Lord is in his holy temple. Let all the earth keep silence before him. Please be seated.
One of the most profound scripture is found in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 17. By faith, Abraham, when he was tempted, offered up Isaac. And he who had received the promise offered up his only begotten son. How would you like to have been at the foot of Mount Moriah with those two servant boys when Abraham and Isaac came down from the mountain? That had to be a joyous sight. Abraham, explain to us what worship is. It is bowing at the feet of the one you're worshiping in full submission and obedience. Abraham, who sets the boundaries for worship? What we do and what we don't do? God does that. Abraham, what gift does worship demand? All of the worshiper. Is there a reward in making such sacrifice? Absolutely. My friend, all cultures. You can go to the darkest jungle in the Amazon, to the most prominent building in Washington, D.C. All cultures fall at the feet of their gods. God instilled within us, within our heart, a desire to worship, and we do that. On his first missionary journey, the Apostle Paul was worshiped by the Lystrians. They thought he and Barnabas were gods, Zeus and Mercury. And they brought animals to burn before them. And then they tried to kill them when they learned that was not the case. On Mars Hill, the philosopher said, let us hear what this seed picker has to say. I've never read that in my Bible. No, you haven't, because you probably said, let us see what this babbler has to say. But seed picker is better. Because that's what the philosopher said. This man is like a bird that is lighted in the field. And he sees these minute specks. And he's picking them up to put into his stomach for his own good. And the implication probably is, and this man who has done that is going to regurgitate them on us. They weren't too much in favor of Paul. Yet they were great worshipers. One historian said there were more idols in Athens than there were men. Perhaps an exaggeration, but with some truth. But there on Mars Hill, some men joined with Paul and believed. Among them, Dionysus, the Areopagite, and a woman named Damaris, and many others with them. What about submitting to true worship? What is true worship? Woe to him who says to the wood, awake. To the silent stone, arise, I will teach. But behold, it's laid in silver and gold. It is very valuable. Yet there's no breath in it. But the Lord, that's Jehovah, is in his holy temple. Let all the earth keep silence before him. Isaiah went to that holy temple. He saw the curtain draw back. A good man he was, but you know what he says? I am unraveled. Your Bible says undone. I am unraveled. I am a man of unclean lips. Isaiah, what's your problem? I've been talking about fishing and hunting and specials down at Walmart and whatever. Nothing wrong with those things, but I haven't been on my knees before God. So God sent an angel and cleaned him up. Christians are constantly aware of God's awesomeness. Stephen Hawking, thought by many to be the most intelligent man on earth, is a fool. Those are not my words. God said the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. Stephen Hawking lacks three words in the Bible, in the beginning, because there was the big bang. But he hates the next two. God created. If that's the case, Stephen Hawking is not a man of his own. He was made by a creator. And that means he must be in submission to a creator. And he won't go there. He has too much intellect. What a shame to worship yourself. There are three eternal principles of true worship we want to talk about. And here's the first one. True worship always involves both the heart and the practice. Get rid of the idea, well, I'm a pretty good thinker. I plan to do what God wants me to do. I know him in my heart, but I don't go along with all this stuff I find in the Bible. That doesn't work. When Aaron saw it, this is over in Exodus chapter 32 verse 5, when Aaron saw it, the beautiful golden calf, he built an altar before it. You got the picture? He had his artisans to build a golden calf because they did not know what had happened to Moses. He'd been gone 40 days. Up, make us gods that we may worship. And then he had his artisans to build that golden calf. And it was a beautiful thing. They knew how to do it. They'd probably done that for the Egyptians down in Egypt. When he saw that beautiful golden calf, he built an altar before it. Now watch this. And then he made a proclamation and said, tomorrow is a feast day to Jehovah. Watch it, Aaron. You have too much stuff going on in one venue. You have a beautiful golden calf that's very expensive that I can touch with my hands if the guards will let me, that I can be amazed by. You have an altar in front of it, and you tell me that tomorrow we're going to worship Jehovah? I don't think so. Aaron, why did you do it? Why did you make that calf? The people wanted it. They took off their gold and brought them to me, those pieces to me. I cast them in the fire, and out came this golden calf. What a miracle, Aaron, that you have performed. You threw the gold in the fire, and out came this golden calf. A beautiful piece of art. You know what happened the next day? The people rose up and made burnt offerings. To whom? I don't know. Aaron was over here probably saying, these are to Jehovah. And some were saying, oh, what a beautiful God we have before us. And then they offered peace offerings. That means we're at peace with God. And when we finish with this, we're going to give him his part, and we're going to take the rest, and we're going to have a picnic. That's what a peace offering was. So they made the burnt offerings and the peace offerings. And then the people rose up to play. Not tennis. Not golf. Not baseball. They rose up to party, which included fornication. This was not a worship to Jehovah. This was a worship to the false gods that Israel had learned of down in Egypt. And you might be sitting there saying, I know that worship is of the heart and of the practice. And that's what I try to do, but sometimes it's so hard. Sometimes we have conflict. Sometimes, you know, there's a sporting event or there's a drama event or there's a school event. My kid needs to study for the final exam. He has to pass that. And he has friends and he needs personal time. And, you know, we just can't get around to worshiping God as we ought. But we do it when we can. Yeah, thank you. What are you teaching your children? God warned, not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see they approaching. And the reason he gives in there is you need to encourage other people. That's not the only reason for our assembly today, but that's a part of it. You need to lift others up. Provoke one another to love and good works, the previous verse says. Yeah, I know we should do that. Can't do that all the time. What are you teaching your children? Heart or practice? Why not both? Number two, true worship has always demanded a sacrifice. We're not going into Leviticus. We're doing that on Wednesday night. But in Leviticus chapter 1, if a priest sins, a high priest sins, he is to take a bullock, the greatest of their beasts, lay his hands on it, transfer his sins, cut its throat, take its blood, sprinkle blood before the curtain in the tabernacle, put the blood on the horns of the golden altar on the inside of the tabernacle. Take the rest of the blood, pour it at the base of the brazen altar outside. And then prepare the animal for sacrifice, for burning. Take the parts that can be burned as God recommended or as God ordered. Burn them and then take the rest of the animal outside the camp and burn the entirety of it. That's a sin sacrifice. If the congregation sins, do the same thing. If a ruler sins, don't take a bullock. Take a lesser animal. Take a ram and prepare it. Don't sprinkle the blood in front of the curtain. Don't have to do that, but do the rest. And if a common man sins, then you take a different kind of animal. You take a kid of the goats, put the blood on the golden altar, and at the brazen altar, and burn its body. You see the step down there that God gives. Those are God's orders. When the high priest sins or the people sin, it is a national thing. A bullock with blood sprinkled before the most holy place, before the veil of the most holy place. Otherwise, there's a lesser conflict when a common person sins or even a ruler sins. But listen to Genesis chapter 22. Take now thy son. Okay, God, I can do that. My oldest son is not here, but I'll see if I can find. No. Take now your son, your only son. Well, as I said, Ishmael's my oldest, your only son, Isaac, whom you love. and offer him on one of the mountains. I will show you. Abraham didn't stutter. He didn't hesitate. He didn't offer to substitute Ishmael. I just threw that in to get you to think. In the third place, true worship has always defined the worshiper. How you worship is who you are. How you worship is before God, your allegiance to Him. When we sing, what do you do? When we pray, what do you do? When the Lord's Supper is being passed, what do you do? When the sermon is being given, what do you do? When the plate is passed, what do you do? Let me show you what I'm talking about. Have you ever heard of the three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? I think you have. We know them in Daniel chapter 1. Daniel is their spokesman there. But there's another event with these men that has to do with worship. And we always know them because of that event. They are ordered by Nebuchadnezzar, the strongest man on earth. They are ordered to bow down to a statue that is 90 feet tall and 6 inches wide, a replica of him that's distorted, made out of gold. That made it a god. It's a precious thing. It's an expensive thing. Only a king could put that up. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were officers in the land. They, above all people, would do what the king says to do. So he gave an order, when the orchestra plays, all of you will bow down and worship this statue. They didn't. Can you imagine being in Washington, D.C. at some kind of great festival that honors the president, the Supreme Court, the Congress, whatever, and find yourself in a position where you have to do something that is of the devil? And you have people there from across the United States, high-powered people in government, and you've been put at the top of them. And when they're commanded to worship, when all of you are commanded to worship, you don't. And it's obvious to those people that you're not worshiping. How embarrassing is that? Wasn't too embarrassing for Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. The guards came and got them and ushered them right off to Nebuchadnezzar. And he is so mad he can bite a nail. And he says, well, these men probably didn't understand. I know they've been trained. They're part of my wise men. But somehow this just kind of went over their heads. And men, I'm going to give you one more chance to make that decision. Because you know the penalty for not doing this is to be thrown into this fire that's 7 times hotter than the other fires. So they answered the king, Daniel chapter 3 verse 16, O Nebuchadnezzar, we have no need to answer you in this matter. If that is the case, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace. And he will deliver us from your hand, O king. But if not, let it be known to you, O king, that we do not serve your gods, nor will we worship the golden image of yourself, which you have set up. We don't worship your gods. We don't worship you. Now, what are you going to do about that? three Hebrew guys a long way away from their home and what they always knew. And they have the audacity to confront the most powerful man on earth. And he said, I can tell you what I'm going to do with you. The fiery furnace. 7 times hotter, men. Throw them in. And the guards that cast them in were burned to death when they cast them in. Nebuchadnezzar was really enjoying this until he looked and said, wow, oh. They put only 3 men in. I see a fourth. And the fourth is like a son of the gods. And those 3 men walked out, unburned, untouched. You couldn't even smell the singe of the hair on their bodies. It was all intact. And my friend, that is not a fairy tale. It has no once upon a time in some place far, far away. It tells us where it was, what it was, who was involved. And then as Nebuchadnezzar knew, Jehovah God was involved. He made the fire. He made the men. He made the king. And he did not hesitate to do what he needed to do. Who is Daniel? You know Daniel for many reasons. But I love him. When he learned that if anybody bowed down before any god except the king, they would be cast into a den of lions. And Daniel said, well, I pray every day 3 times in my upper story toward Jerusalem. In the open, I'll close the shutters now and do it. No, that's not what he said. He said, I'll just keep on doing it. And right there before the king's spies, he knelt and prayed to God. You know the rest of the story. One of my friends years ago operated an ambulance service. Sometimes when you have a job like that, it interferes with your presence in worship. I saw him one Monday morning. He said, preacher, I almost didn't go to Bible study yesterday, but I went and the teacher called the roll. And I got a call and had to leave before the class started, but I was present. It was in February. He said, I've been present every time this year. I said, you were not present. He said, I was for the roll call, and that's what counts. That's not Bible study. That's not worship. Number four, true worship has always changed the heart of the worshiper. That's how God devised it. Worship makes us into something we weren't yesterday. That's the reason that as we grow in worship, we come to accept things of God that we had not previously accepted. We come into a relationship with God we previously didn't have. We eat the Lord's Supper, and we eat the Lord's Supper, and we eat the Lord's Supper every time, if we do it properly, gaining in intensity of our love and dedication for Jesus Christ. Worship molds us. Psalm chapter 115, verse 1 beginning, I want to read this. It has a punchline on it I want you to hear. Not unto us, O Lord, not unto us. Excuse me, let me start over. Not unto us, O Lord, not unto us. But to your name give glory. Because of your mercy, because of your truth. Why should the Gentiles say, so where is their God? But our God is in heaven. He does whatever he pleases. Their idols are silver and gold, the work of men's hands. They have mouths, but they do not speak. They have eyes, but they do not see. They have ears, but they do not hear. Noses they have, they do not smell. They have hands, but do not handle. Feet they have, but do not walk. And they mutter through their throat. They do not mutter through their throat. Now listen to the punchline. Those who make them are like them. So is everyone who trusts in them. David, what about those who trust in the Lord? Then they're like him. The pagans become like their gods. You look at the news and you see things happening that you couldn't imagine. How a man and woman can kill their little baby. Sometime unborn, sometime born. How a person can kill his parents or a brother or sister. How a man can take money from a bank almost knowing he'll be caught, but he found out a way to do it. Their God is not Jehovah. Because Jehovah doesn't do things like that. Pagans become like Molech, Las Vegas, Fort Knox, sports, whatever, at the expense of God. No, it isn't wrong to have money. It isn't wrong to enjoy sports. It isn't wrong to be a human being. But it's wrong to worship these things. And we have worshipers of these things. What do you want to be like? I know. What do you want your children to be like? I know that too. But what are you molding them into? Worship is so boring. I just tolerate it. Really? Then either you're not doing it right, or your heart is not engaged. Abraham was worship boring up on that mountain. Are you kidding? I sacrificed Isaac. God told me to do it and I did it. No, Isaac is here, but I mean, God provided Isaac for me in a different form. I made a burnt offering on the mountain to God. I rededicated myself to him. Not to Hannah, who begged for a son. Oh, Eli thought she was drunk. Don't come around this place drunk anymore. I'm not drunk, sir. Begging God for a son. She got it. Because of David's sin of numbering Israel, God started a plague in Israel. And it was going toward Jerusalem. Already killed thousands of people. Going toward Jerusalem. David went to the threshing floor of Arona. Bought the equipment. Bought the sacrifices. And begged God to stop with his sacrifices. And God stopped. Worship wasn't boring to Daniel. As he knelt down that day. And was grabbed by arresting officers. A true worshiper must start by having a right relationship with Christ. It's not that simple, but yet it is simple. John chapter 8, verse 24. Except ye believe that I am he, ye shall die in your sins. Jesus said that. Except you believe that I am the Son of God, the Christ, you shall die in your sins. Well, God, there's a lot of religions out there. I mean, you're one of the one, and you're different, but I have other thoughts. You're not a Christian. look at the applications I made for jobs or whatever. You used to have to put that on your application. You can't anymore. It's Christian, Christian, Christian. Don't care what you say you are, if you do not believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, you're going to die in your sins. On Mars Hill, Paul said to the pagans, the times of this ignorance got overlooked, but now he commands all men everywhere to repent. They listened to that. They listened to him till he came down to the resurrection of Christ, and then they wanted to run him away. He didn't leave. Therefore, whoever confesses me before men, him will I confess before my Father which is in heaven. Matthew chapter 10, verse 32. What are you doing, preacher? I'm telling you how you get in a position to worship God. Can I worship God outside of Christ? Well, in a sense. But it's not worship that God records and says, I accept you on the basis of what you've done. Only in Christ. And here's the real kicker. Paul says, you're all sons of God by faith in Christ Jesus, Galatians 3:26. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. I don't see any need of that. Well, Paul did. And even if he didn't, he had the Holy Spirit talking to him. And that's what the Holy Spirit told him to do. And whether it makes sense to me or you or not, it makes sense to God. All of us are sons of God by faith because when we were baptized into Christ, we put on Christ. So worship for the Christian moves from level to level. Worship is much different with me at the age 74 than it was at the age of 24. And so it is with you if you can count 50 years back. It is different because of what we've learned, because of the relationship we built with God. If you're not a Christian, though, your worship doesn't improve. It can't, because you're not in Christ. And actually have no hope of graduating into heaven. So if you're here outside of Christ, you need to believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God, repent of sin, confess His name, I believe that He is the Son of God, be baptized into Him for the remission of your sins, which can be done before we leave this building. And if you're a Christian who stalled right here, you need to get out of that rut and challenge yourself with every worship. I'm going to grow taller in Christ. If you have a confession you need to make, a public sin, or ask for strength, the prayers of this congregation, you have that chance to do that today.
We hope you have enjoyed this lesson from God's Word. If you would like to continue your study of New Testament Christianity, please send your name and address to World Bible School, West Huntsville Church of Christ, 1519 Old Monrovia Road Northwest, Huntsville, Alabama, 35806. Or if you prefer, send your name and address by email to wbs@westhuntsville.org.